Why don't we begin with a word of prayer? Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you for this day that you've granted to us. Lord, I want to thank you for traveling mercies. And I thank you for this theme of almost home. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will attend the words that are said and that it will do the work that you have designed for it to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're finishing up the, at least my portion, of the Almost Home Week of Prayer theme. I believe that Elder McKnight is going to finish it off. Brother Moody is going to finish it off tomorrow. I wanted to, as I bring to a close this portion that I'm going to be sharing with you, I wanted to draw your minds to a story from the New Testament. It was the last Passover, the first communion, that's what we call it now. Jesus is sharing his final moments with his disciples. To me, I think it's important, if you want to really appreciate anything you read in the Bible, you've got to use your imagination. You have to be there. You have to try and think the way they were thinking. What was going on through in their minds? What was the situation? How was it taking shape? What could have been going through the mind of Jesus at that time? This is his final moments with his disciples. I mean, when you know something is about to come, especially if it's something that you're dreading, the clock seems to, in some cases it ticks very, very slow, but in other cases it ticks very, very fast. You're running out of time. He spent how long with his disciples, training them, teaching them, trying to prepare them, and the Bible tells us, we read in John chapter 16, Jesus said, "There are things that I want to tell you, but you're not ready." He knew that they were not ready. They were about to have their beliefs in him completely shattered. Their belief in him as the Messiah was going to be, it would almost be broken. Jesus knew that would happen. What is he going to say to his disciples at this last peaceful time that he's going to share with them? What should he do? Well, we find in John 14, the words of Jesus are recorded. The Bible says, John 14, 1 and 2, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And it becomes really significant when you read that, knowing that their belief in Jesus was what was going to be tested. That's what it was going to be broken just about. So he says, "You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And then he says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." If only they had really understood what Jesus was trying to tell them. Jesus knew what was coming. They didn't. He's trying to tell them, "Believe in me." Oh, those words are significant. If only they'd been listening. But the words of Jesus, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I would tell you that that's good advice even for us today. The generation, what I believe to be the last generation, the generation that is almost home, we need to take these words to heart, because there will be plenty of reason for us to be troubled in the days and weeks and years that are coming up on us quite fast. Just like the disciples, our faith in Jesus is going to be tested before all is said and done. Our belief in Jesus, is, in terms of him being the King of Kings, is going to be severely tried before we finally make it home. And Jesus' words to them were, if I could maybe just make it a little bit more modern, what that means is, don't give up, don't give in, don't stop believing in me, even if you see things that don't line up with your expectation of how things are supposed to go. Now, think of our world today, everything that is around us. It seems like everything that is around us is counter to God. Our workplace, schools, and our friends. You know, we have friends and it's difficult sometimes. The advice of Jesus is timeless. He tells his people, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because we're almost home. We're almost home. Now let me share this. Let me get to what I wanted to really talk about tonight. What will home be like? Now I could say to you we're almost home, but if home is not a nice place, then that's not a really hopeful statement. If I tell you we're almost home and you don't like home, then that statement fills you with dread, right? I remember growing up, I would so much enjoy hanging out with my friends, or if maybe you go for a sleepover, you know, and you have so much fun, and then it's time to go home, and I'd be, oh, man, I don't want to go home. I'd rather stay at his home, right? Well, what is home like? When we're talking about almost home from a Christian perspective, what are we saying? What will home be like? What I want to do is just, in the time we have left, I want to share what the Word of God has to say about our home. The Bible tells us that home is not a place of dread, and it's not just a little bit better than where we are right now, which some people believe that. Home is something that is very difficult for us to comprehend, biblically speaking. It's certainly a place that we should be looking forward to. We find this in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. Listen to what the Bible says. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. I just want to share a few things with you tonight. As we kind of bring this almost home theme to a close, as we start to bring it to a close, I want to share with you what the Bible says about home. What are we almost at? What can we look forward to? Well, let me share what the Bible has to say. First text that we find comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Bible tells us that righteousness dwells in our future home. What does that mean? What is the significance of that? Well, what is the opposite of righteousness? Wickedness. The Bible says that in our home to come, there will be no wickedness. You won't have to have locked doors. You won't have to be afraid to go down the scary alley. You won't have to deal with the grumpy cashier at the checkout counter anymore. There will be no stealing, no thievery. There will be no murder. This is what we can look forward to in our future home. The Bible says righteousness will reign in our new home. Philippians 3:20 and 21. The Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know, I think of when I was a new Christian, when I first became a Christian. The reason that I became a Christian was because my life was a mess and God brought peace into the mess. I can tell you that when I became a Christian, I didn't care about heaven. That wasn't on my radar. The reason that I became a Christian was because of what God was doing for me right here and now. I tend to be that type of person, or I used to be, where it was about here and now. If God couldn't do anything for me now, then I really got no use for him. But it wasn't until I was a Christian for a few years, and then the idea that I started to understand that, wait a minute, as good as it is now, are you telling me that God has something even better? That God doesn't just want me to be happy now, but that God can actually give me something even better than what I have now? It was mind-blowing to me. I mean, it may seem elementary to Christians if you've been a Christian for a while, but imagine a new Christian seeing what God is doing for me now is worth giving him my life. But then I read that God has something even better. Well, one of the things that we know that is going to be better is that our future home will be, there will be righteousness in that home, but accompanied with a new house, God is going to give us new bodies. New bodies, perfect, whole, not prone to disease or sickness. Imagine, what is it that you deal with now? What do you struggle with now? What is it that doesn't let you do the things you want to do? Or what is it that you feel is affecting your future? God is promising us a place where our bodies are going to be made brand new. They're not going to be suffering from all these things that we suffer from now. Imagine being able to swim underwater without having to hold your breath. Imagine walking in space without having a spacesuit. Now, somebody may say, well, that's ridiculous. That's just defies the laws of physics. Well, the text I just showed you earlier said that God has prepared things that we can't even imagine. There are things waiting for us that we cannot even imagine. And I can imagine that. So what God has prepared is even greater than what my little feeble mind can think of. Now imagine this. Imagine being able to give praise, honor, and glory to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit face to face. We are almost home. That is what is awaiting us when we finally make it home. When we finally take possession of our home, the Bible tells us in Revelation 21:4. And listen, I got to tell you, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me share this with you. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Look back at your life and think about the things that have made you cry. Look back at your life and think about the people that you've had to say goodbye to. The Bible says that in the New Jerusalem, there will be no more crying, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more pain. But there's something in this text that it just blew me away, okay? The Bible says, in Revelation 21:4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." What will that be like? You got to be careful, you know, whose tears you wipe. Did you know that? If Candy, let's say Candy, if I walked up to Candy and Candy was crying, and I see Candy crying, and I walk up to Candy and I cradle her face in my hands, and with my thumb I just wipe the tear, you know that Eric is going to be upset, right? If you did that to my wife, I'd be upset. I'm just telling you. That is an intimate act. If your wife is, or husband, if your spouse is crying, and you walk up to that person, and you put your hand on their face, and with one finger just wipe a tear, that is an intimate action. That is not something that strangers do to one another. You don't touch someone's face. Did you know that? It's the same thing if I was to see a woman and her hair was messed up and I just walked up to her and brushed the hair from her face. That is an intimate thing. You don't do that to strangers. What will it be like? The Bible tells us that there will come a time when God's going to come up, and at that time, God's going to come up and he's going to somehow touch your face, and the tears, the things that you cry about, he's going to wipe those tears away. That is what awaits us at home. We are almost home. That is one of the things that you can look forward to at home. Listen to what Isaiah 65:17 says. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." We read in verse 21 and 22 of the same chapter, Isaiah 65, it says, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." Couple things that jump out at me from these texts. One is this, that the Bible says that when we get home, we're going to have real lives. We're going to have real homes. We're going to get to build and enjoy what we make. If you've ever built anything, you know the joy that comes from being able to sit there and just take in or use or live in whatever you just built. There's something about, if I bought a house and I had to move from one house to another, that experience, it might be a little bit trying, but if I build the house, when it comes time to move, it's a lot harder on a person. And you know, imagine building a house and then having somebody come in and saying, well, I'll offer you, you know, $100,000 for it. More often than not, you're probably not going to get what you think it's worth because you know the work that it took to get in, to put into it. The Bible tells us that one of the things we're going to be able to do at some point is that we're going to be able to build the houses and inhabit them. And another thing that jumps out at me from this text, it says this, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people. I found out something a while back that I never had known before. Why do they make this reference? For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. Well, did you know, and I don't know that this applies to every tree, but trees have no lifespan. Trees don't die of old age. Trees, if a tree is not infected by a bug or some parasite, the tree will live indefinitely. And I would say live forever. They don't have a lifespan like human beings. If you don't get a disease, eventually you're going to wear out. But the Bible says that their days will be as the days of a tree. The Bible says when we get home, we're going to live forever. And we friends, we're almost home. We're almost home. Listen to Isaiah 66, verse 22. This is one I'm sure you've heard before. The Bible says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord. When we finally get home, we'll finally be able to, for the first time, find out what real worship is all about. For the first time, when we make it home, we're going to find out what a true church service is supposed to be run like. The Bible says that once a month and every Sabbath, we're going to come together and we're going to come before the sovereign of the universe and offer our praise and honor and glory face to face with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to listen to a man speak of these things. Imagine having a sermon preached by Christ himself. Imagine Jesus grabbing a Bible and said, folk, when you were on the earth, there's some things that you missed. I want to show you something. And he starts putting these things together, just blowing your mind. Telling you things that if we would have known would have made our existence much, much, much easier. But in our humanity, we weren't able to pick it up. We are almost home. Who wants to be there? Who is anxious to go home? Who would like to say, you know, even so, come, Lord Jesus? You know, the challenge I think for us Christians is I think that we have this thing that we think we're home already. We say we want to go home, but we say it with our mouths, but our lives, and I'm including myself in the mix, I'm not immune. Our lives say that we're already home. In theory, we want to go home, but in actual fact, we act like we're already home because we don't take God seriously. We don't spend time with our devotions. We are more like the world around us than we care to admit. God is calling his people out. He's calling his people out because we are almost home. And I will tell you this, as we get near to that transition point, when God's people finally make their own exodus out of Egypt, when he comes to deliver us like Moses delivered the Israelites, it's going to get more difficult. The ties are going to get stronger. the tension is going to get thicker. But we need to keep in mind that we are almost home. I told you, was it last night or the last time, about this friend of mine, this minister, who had made a decision to quit. And I told you that I had been trying to communicate with him, and he just would not, he didn't want to talk to me. Because we're close, and we don't sugarcoat things when we talk to one another. And so I kept calling him, and finally we got a hold of him, and we were talking, and I wasn't the only one. There were others, friends of his, that were trying to just encourage him and ask him to, you know, he needs to really look at the situation. Well, we talked today, and God has done something miraculous in this man's life. He found himself putting out a wild and crazy fleece before the Lord. He said, "Lord, if you are really there, I need you to show me, do X." And he put a fleece out. And lo and behold, God answered his prayer. God answered his prayer in a powerful way where he is doing nothing but, he can't say anything. He's been humbled by God. I think because his extremity was so bad, God pulled out all the stops for this man. But what I find, and what I was trying to share with him, is that we're almost home. Things are getting harder. Now is not the time to give up. Well, it's the same thing for us, for each one of us. If the enemy knows that his time is short, he's going to try to entangle us here to get us to want this to be our home. We need to keep in mind that we're not citizens of this land. But you know what? It's hard. It's hard when our affections are here, our toys are here, our dreams are here. But we are almost home. We've been talking about this almost home theme, and we're going to be talking about it for the rest of the year. I wanted to share with you just a story as I wrap this up here. But I used to work for a company servicing computers and copiers. I remember an incident specifically where this salesman was being harassed by our own office staff. And there were different reasons for it. Whether it was paperwork that wasn't exactly filled out right, or you know, he is in such a rush to make a sale that he doesn't necessarily do everything he needs to do, you know, orderly. And they were just getting tired of it, and they were not happy with him. They'd yell at him. They wouldn't help him out when he called. And it got really, really difficult for him. So I was talking with him, saying that he was really angry. And he's just talking about how these people in the office, that they should fire all of them, and he's so angry, he doesn't like any of them, and I'm just listening to him, letting him vent, you know. And he said something to me. He said, "Listen, our office is our home, and outside of our office is the world. Home should be our sanctuary. Home is not a place where we attack each other. Home is a place where we support one another. We support one another so that we can go out in the world and do our thing, but when we come home, we shouldn't be at each other's throats." And I was listening to him, and as I was working, preparing this, that story came back to my mind. Because we can take that analogy, and instead of talking about home being heaven, we can talk about home being the church. The church is the sanctuary from the world for us. It's for people to be able to come in and be able to be free from what's on the outside. No matter how bad it gets out there, you know you can always come in here and be accepted. You can be uplifted. Instead of people trying to hit you all the time and bring you down, they're trying to lift you up. We are almost home. This church is God's sanctuary in this locality so that people can come and be transitioned from this home to the next home. So as we wrap up our time together, I just want to ask you, are you looking forward to going home? As we go through this year, and almost home being our theme, are you committed to keep that in mind? And also, as the Lord gives you the ability to be able to impress upon others that we're almost home. I want to offer you the opportunity to stand with me as I offer closing prayer. We need to rededicate ourselves. We are almost home. The Lord is coming. We can't be playing around with some of these things that we normally have been. It's time to focus for our sakes and also for all the others that the Lord is calling home. Let's have prayer together. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that in spite of all of our weaknesses, that you still reach out to us. I want to thank you, Lord, that in spite of all the rejection and all the frustration that we must cause you, that you still want to take us home. I want to thank you, Lord, for your grace that covers a multitude of sins. I want to thank you for grace that it not only covers my sin, it inspires me and motivates me to want to live the way you want me to live. I want to thank you for your grace because it not only draws me to you, but your grace makes me more like you. I lift up each one here, Lord. I pray that as we find ourselves getting closer and closer to that time where you will deliver us and bring us home, that each one of us will remain faithful. Each one of us will be strong. Each one of us will continue to believe. And Lord, as our faith gets tested with whatever it is that's coming down the line, I pray that just like the disciples and what Jesus told them, that those words will ring true. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Jesus. Help each one of us to do that, Lord. Watch over us. Thank you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Before